We've been talking about some of the theory associated with compensation, which is, as I mentioned during the quiz, the idea that employees will form an emotional and then a physical reaction to the pay that you're offering, which is structured, of course, by the concept of pay equity, equity pay theory, and to what degree people feel that they're being paid fairly for their inputs and the outcomes that they're coming up with. So what do they get out of it? What are the outcomes that are associated with this this work that they're doing? And they form this emotional reaction. All well and good. But in the end, we have these equity comparisons that I mentioned to you, internal equity, employee equity or individual equity, same thing, and then external equity. So I need to talk to you about how we establish those equities such that they reflect what employees are also looking at as they decide how they feel about their pay. And as you can see, employees are in general going to be happy about a pay situation where they feel well compensated compared to the various relevant others that they want to compare themselves to, but on the same job internally to the organization or externally on the same job. So once they make those three comparisons, if they come up with a feeling that, hey, they're being paid pretty fairly, then their emotional response to the job is going to be somewhat different. Now, it may not be perfect. I don't know if any of you had jobs where you're paid well, but you still hate the job. Have you had that happen yet? Yeah. Boy, there's a real bind, right? I love the pay, but I hate the job. So that's just part of that picture, too. It's not, you know, employees don't feel emotionally about the job based solely on their pay. Of course, it's a reasonably large component of that. All right. So we're talking about the three equities. So let me talk to you about how these are done. Several of them are fairly easy. The last one is pretty difficult. But we need to understand this so that it can be done correctly. I pointed out that we have individual equity, right, sometimes known as employee or individual equity. And this is the idea of employees comparing themselves to other employees doing the same job. Well, how should we put this together? Well, let's look at it like this on a graph. Here's the job, whatever it is, job A on this graph. And this is pay for jobs. And we're looking at A, this might be B, C, D, E, F, G, whatever. So this is job A, B, C, D, E, F, and whatever. Dot, 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 and shouldn't I have? Okay, and this job, on average, is going to pay right about there. And we'll go into how that's decided here in a little bit. But it's paid at some point on this pay range here. This is pay vertically. So it goes from zero to, let's say, $30 an hour. Put some limitations on it. And apparently this person is going to be somewhere around this, at least this job, on average, pays $15 an hour. Okay. Now, if it's on average, that means what? That if you took all the people's pay on that job, added them all up, divided by the number of people there, you would end up at $15. Does that mean, let's say, that if there's 20 people on the job, that all 20 of them make $15 an hour? Remember, I'm older. I can't hear much anymore. No, I can only hear the things that I want to hear. Huh?
No.
You know, things like, would you take the garbage up to the compost, which is like 400 yards away, right, on the back 40. I can hardly ever hear that. So, no, we have a situation here where we can assume that there's going to be people who are making
more.
Yeah. Less, more. There we go. So we have people that are making less and people that are making more. There. So that might be sort of the way it looks in terms of pay over the people that are doing this job. And what does that line represent? People making less and people making more. But your curious mind wants to know why. Why are some people making less and some people making more? Huh? I want to ask you.
Experience, qualifications.
Experience, right, qualifications, et cetera, that they have skills that perhaps somebody else doesn't have. So they might be up here based on time, which is known as seniority, and skills, which would be skill, raises based on skill are called
performance.
Yeah, but what's the term we call it? It's called
I don't know.
Modify that groaning to a more of a moaning sound. M what?
Merit. That's right.
Merit pay, right? Merit pay is a permanent increase to an individual's pay.
And time-based is seniority. So a person moves on this line based on their seniority or merit, depending on what the company wants to award. Now, historically, companies did a whole lot of rewarding based on seniority. That's what unions wanted. Why? Because it was easy to count, right? And it kept the membership solid. And it was easy. Well, you've been here 10 years, you should be here. You should be here 2 years, you should be here. They didn't want to use merit because merit was so biasly measured. Yeah.
And then also the idea of on 10 years to keep your best employees as long as possible.
Yeah, I think that's true. You're rewarding your best employees. The question, of course, came up, does seniority ensure bestedness?
No.
No.
Yeah, I'd have to say no.
Unless it's like easy threat of losing the job, I guess. But I don't think they're going to work the best they can if they know that they're not getting raise based on it.
Yeah, that's right. And the unions tend to focus on this. Companies now, of course, want to focus on this or bonuses, which are one-time pay chunks, right? Well, we'll talk about that in a little while. But anyway, people can move on this hierarchy of pay for job A based on seniority and or merit, depending on what the company wants to focus on. They may want to focus on merit pay. They may want to focus on seniority, some sort of mix.
With seniority, does that mean that some companies actually have a structure to how many years you have to be to qualify for a bonus?
No, they just assign a certain amount of increase per year. So if you've been there for 1 year, you start off with the base pay, whatever it might be, right down here. So this might be entry level pay. Then with time, each year you get a 50-cent increase or something. Who knows? An hour. So what we're looking at then here is from the point of view of individual equity on the job, we're looking at employees moving up on this and looking above them and looking below them to see if they can understand how people are up there versus how people are down there vis-a-vis their own particular situation. And if it makes sense, and if they see the increased pay as accessible, right, they can get to it, then they're going to be reasonably happy with the pay. It's logical, it makes sense, they know they can get there, and it's reasonable, let's just say. So what's happening here then is a person takes a look at this person here, that would be the relevant other that I've been talking about, and a person here compares himself and sees that the inputs are different. And in this case, what would be the input difference? What they put into versus what they get out. This person is getting their outcomes
are dot, 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 dot at $25 an hour. This person entry level, their outcomes are dot, 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 dot and $18 an hour.
So when the person looks up there, they say, hey, this isn't fair, or do they say what? Don't fall asleep on me. We're getting down to the exciting and interesting part of all this discussion. Can't you feel it welling up underneath the desks? I can. So what happens here when that lower paid person looks above and sees that? Huh? They look up and they see it, and
they're going to set a goal to get there.
And how are they going to get that pay? What is the distinctive factor differentiating the pay of these two individuals?
Job.
How did I say you move on the vertical aspect of that line? Based on
seniority
or skills, right? So the person looks at it and says, well, you know, old Harry's been here for the same number of years that I've been on, so the difference then must be, if it's an honest pay system, must be skill-based. I better start thinking more seriously about the performance appraisals, and if I do well on my performance appraisals, I'm going to get merit pay increases, and then I'll go up. And that makes logical sense. Better performance gets them more pay. Or seniority, more years, gets them better pay. And in an individual equity situation, you have an employee making those comparisons such that if the company has their act together and they took my class, they're going to have it logically presented to the employee what they need to do. So, what's the employee's emotional reaction to being somewhat low on the line?
Negative.
Yeah, because they're not getting as much money, and they know other people are getting more. So, what's their behavior going to be? Pardon? Their emotion is, wow, I want more money. I'm unhappy with my pay. I want more. Is the company offering them the opportunity to get more? Begins with a why. Good going. Now that we've all determined on a group vote that it's yes, how does the employee get that pay? Performance. To catch up, get better performance appraisals, and catch up. They have an emotional reaction. We want them to behave in a certain fashion. Now, they might quit, in which case we'll replace them with somebody that understands the system a little better and doesn't mind working harder. The employee works harder, they help us achieve our goals that much more quickly, and they get rewarded through the performance appraisal. So that's sort of where we're at. It's all a logical flow through on this deal. And that's what you want the system to be. The system is to answer employees' emotional responses to the pay that they're getting.
And it's also being used with responsibility or like power, like almost like power, but like responsibility isn't like we'll have some 40-year-old listening to a kid right out of college, you know, they have their own thing.
Well, typically in that case, I mean, I've been through all this myself in my actual workaday world, coming on to jobs and this and that. When I was a young twerp. But what you're looking at here, and typically when a young person comes onto the job, they're either newer, and the company had to offer more pay to get it. Did I mention that carpentry job I had in Florida? I was working with this guy so fast. He was so good. He'd been with the company for 10 years framing out apartments. But I came on at more money than he was getting, 25 cents an hour more. He was getting $4.75, and I got $5. This is 30, 40 years ago. 40 years ago, maybe? And why did I come on at $5 an hour and he had four? He was making $4.75. Why do you think that was the case? I mean, there's no way that they could possibly think that I'd be better at doing this work than he was.
So you would take the job.
So that I would take the job, precisely. There was competition for the job. And if he had played his cards correctly, he would have said, I'm going to another construction job who wants me to frame up apartments. And they're willing to pay me $6 an hour. I sure would have paid him $6 an hour because he was really good. So what's being constructed here is a logical viewpoint of how a company relates to employees through pay and provides motivation for them to improve their job. The pay, this pay differential here between these two people encourages this employee to do whatever it takes to move up. They see that moving up is possible. They define in their own minds what moving up will entail, and they make a decision about it. You see also then the problem with seniority. If a person looks at this pay difference and knows that it's based solely on seniority, what's going to happen?
They're going to be pissed off.
Well, not so much pissed off. What are they going to be?
Discouraged.
Discouraged or lackadaisical. All I have to do is freaking sit here on this stool for 15 years and I'll have good pay. All right. What's that do for their work? The quality of the work, the amount of work they put in, their effort, et cetera, et cetera.
Just ride the clock.
Yeah, ride the clock. Did you say that?
Yeah.
That's a good word. That's a good term. I've never heard it. Ride the clock. That's exact. Ride the calendar, even better. Cool. You learn something every day. Yeah, I learned something, yeah. Well, in any case, yes. So it's discouraging for an employee to look at this and say, the only way I'm going to get more money is to stay here extra time. I want that money now. Okay, if it's a merit situation, in other words, pay for performance, merit increases based on performance appraisal, what are they going to do?
Pardon?
Work harder. I hope they're going to work harder. If they don't, we don't want them anyway. So they're going out the door, and we'll replace them with some more eager individual. So from that point of view, I also endorse merit pay processes rather than a seniority. Though seniority, I guess, still has its place, sort of.
In the senior college, and then people may be more loyalty.
I think that's not a bad point. That's probably one of the things I would have to attribute to seniority. That a person that's been there for a long enough time, is making enough money, might be more loyal. Okay, I'm not going to buy it 100%, but I'll give it at least an 80%. In the end, people are, in my opinion, in general, people are loyal to themselves. And if they can get more money, more time, better bosses, closer to work, to their house, whatever, free parking, any number of things, that will pull an employee away to another job. I understand what you're saying, and we would say in economics, ceteris paribus. If all things are the same, then what you're saying is probably correct. But all things are not the same, and employees will look around and find better offers quite often. Then loyalty gets thrown away. All right, so. So we end up in a situation where hopefully the pay structure on this individual equity consideration moves the employee to push their way up. And when they get to the top here, they get what's known as red circle. In other words, they can't get any more money. Unless what? How can they get more money? They've been on this job long enough to be able to do it really well. They've climbed up to the top on the performance appraisals and merit money that they've been earning. Promotion. How can they get more money?
Asking for a raise.
Promotion.
There's no raise here. See that?
Okay.
I just removed the raise opportunity.
Gotcha.
There you go. Go ahead. What did somebody say back
Promotion.
There?
Yeah.
Promotion to?
Job B.
Job. Yeah. Job B. Right? So move horizontally, right, to a job, and we'll show why that it's shaped like this. It would have a higher line. They would move across, and then over time, would be able to move up there. So what we're doing here with this pay system is pushing people to stay with us, work better, earn more money, then take more responsibility for in a new job, work well, learn the job, move up, move over to the next job, job C, etc. Right. So the pay structure then that we're in the process of formulating is geared solely to the idea of equity consideration and eliciting from employees the emotional response that yields the action that we want toward goal achievement. And this is just the first of the three equities. All right. So remember, seniority and merit moves the entry-level employee up.
My friend Fred Hills, who taught me this course a few years ago and who wrote a textbook on it, would flip out if he knew I was skipping over all the details that are in here. There's a ton of details in terms of construction, but it's not important to this game, point in the game. All right, so now we've looked at this idea then of pay movement like this. What's the other equity? This is individual, right? Or employee. What's the other equity? External equity. So here's a person on this job, right? They look outside the company for the same job, whatever it might happen to be. And they say, look at that job over there. That guy's doing the same, or gal is doing the same thing as I'm doing, and they're getting some amount more than I'm getting. That creates what in terms of an emotional response? Oh, here, I'll help you. Looking outside to see that somebody doing the same job is making you elicits which response? Hey! Yes, they're unhappy. The unhappy response. And the unhappy person then, emotionally unhappy, looks to solve their problem with an action. And what is that action? Well, technically, they could perform really well and move up such that they're ahead of their comparison outside. But there might be a much easier way that the employee would consider, which would be jump ship. Exactly. Try another job, try that same job with another company, and move over and automatically get better pay. Is that what the company, what our company necessarily wants?
No.
Ha ha, I love it. Yes or no. You can't answer that. It depends on the It depends on the
emotion.
Begins with a G. What's all this? Why are we constructing? Why are we doing all these equities? Because we want to elicit an emotional response which leads to an action which leads to our goals. Right? So we may want to put in place a situation where we don't pay the best in the relevant labor market because we have a labor-intensive product. And we want to keep our prices as low as possible and let all the other company pay lots of money because then they can't challenge us on price. Frankly, I disagree with that theoretical progression. But it's certainly a thought held by most ignorant managers. So what we have then is the idea that we've put together a pay structure that gets us to a goal by paying this general amount of money. And if you can look outside and see better pay, then that's a different organization with a different way of getting toward their goals, whatever it might happen to be. And so employees may leave. But we may keep on employees, especially in the lower skill level jobs, so that we can keep our labor-intensive costs low, 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 and then we can be competitive. So when the person goes to a store to buy the left-handed smoke shifter, and they see one made at Company A, that's us here, or Company B, and they look pretty much the same, and the one costs 20% more, which one are they going to buy?
Cheaper.
The cheaper one, right? That's a given. We buy the cheaper one, regardless of the fact that the thing falls apart when we bump into the greeter that's coming. Oh, welcome to Walmart. If we bump into them on the way out, the whole damn left-handed smoke shifter falls apart onto the ground. Right there it says, do not return to retailer, right, et cetera. So we may be sorry, but that's the nature of the American public buying the cheapest thing they possibly can buy. Okay. So we're at A, and we're following through on our philosophy of keeping our prices low, but which is A, from your marketing class, is A
price.
Differentiation? No. What is it? When you price based on cost and then use that as a competitive advantage?
Cost-based advantage?
Well, what's it called in marketing? What kind of approach are you taking? Is it differentiation? Low-cost approach, exactly. So this company, from a strategic point of view, is taking a low-cost approach to the end product. All right. Another company might take a differentiation. Our smoke shifter doesn't bust when you bump into the door greeter, right, et cetera. It's solid. It's going to last you. You'll pass it on to your grandchildren. Your grandchild wearing those new Carhartt coveralls will be using this in the years to come, et cetera, et cetera. It's like a family heirloom that you're passing down, the smoke shifter. As far as I know, it's one of those things that you tell people to go look for when you're on a camping trip and there isn't one. We all get to laugh at them, and then they commit suicide. All right, so what we have then is this approach to pay that has to be factored in, and we'll talk about that about now. How do they set a price structure that's based on external jobs? How would you think they should go about doing that? So that they're pricing appropriately for their strategies, how they can price a job appropriately for their strategies based on external jobs. What do they need to do?
Their competitors to see what kind of quality they get for the market.
Yes. In fact, you could even talk to your competitors and ask them how much they're paying. Why would those competitors pay you? Why would they tell you what they pay? You do what's known as a wage and salary survey, actually. And why do they give information? To what?
Maybe get information from you.
To get information from you, because they know they're going to damn well be in the same situation where they're trying to price their pay structure into the external environment, and they need your information and various others. So this information is shared fairly readily across a pay and benefits survey, or a wage and benefits survey. And it's that information then is looked at in this fashion. So we look at job A, job D, and job E in the external market. And we are looking at, we pick these jobs because we have seen that these jobs, now listen up, we're going to get into some determinations here. I know you're dozing off on me. You can't fool me. I got eyes in the back of my head. Did I sleep through my MBA program? Yes, I did. A, D, and E are known as, in this case, key jobs. Did Ernie Haupt know that I was sleeping in his class? Oh, yes, he did. He made little notes. Fox is asleep in this entire lecture, yet again, exclamation point. And what do you think he put on the midterm? A full discussion of the points that I slept through. Pretty damn smart. He never said a word to me. He just gave me this stuff. Here's your exam, Fox. Knock yourself out, etc. I looked at it. I didn't know what the hell I was looking at. I looked over at all my friends. They were scribbling away furiously. My friend Joan was deriving everything from exotic equations. What the hell? Somehow he didn't plunk me, thank God. All right, so we have these key jobs. Key jobs are jobs that are common in the relevant labor market. Their job descriptions do not change, and they are well populated. There's a lot of people doing this. So key jobs are common, steady, job description doesn't change much, and let's see, common, oh yeah, highly populated. High population. So that's what a key job is, and we survey key jobs because we want to compare apples to apples, right? They have a steady, common job description, doesn't change, it's a job that I can find easily in the general work area. And there's a lot of people. So the companies that have these people know, have a good bit of information about why they pay these jobs what they pay. So, your chair?
Yeah. Probably won't do it again, but.
Good, try. You were lying to me about a little chair squeak. That's pretty good.
I'm not doing that on purpose.
Like I'll be sound asleep, and Joe just goes out to do her treadmilling, and she puts music on. And it's going, oh, I can't hear a thing because of all the doors I've closed. And all of a sudden, I hear this yelling from the treadmill. She's singing along with one of her songs. Every time I hear it, my blood pressure goes right through, like she's fallen off and broken her leg and the machine's toppled on top of her. No, she's just singing. Scares the hell out of me every time. Anyway, so we do a wage and salary survey of job A and D and E. And this is the information we get back on job A. We survey four different companies. We get back four different wages, let's say running from $10 an hour to $12 an hour. I don't know. I'm just making this up as I go along. Then we survey D, four companies or five companies, doesn't matter, and we get something like this. We survey more, and that's running from apparently $12 to $16. Who knows? And then E, we survey like this. It's a more job with more responsibilities. We'll talk about it in a minute, right? And so it's out to this end of the grid, the axis. It is running from, it looks like, maybe $15 to $25. Okay, so this is what our wage and salary survey gives us for raw data. The raw data indicates there's a fair amount of spread on these jobs that will create the limits for where we pay. We're going to pay somewhere inside of this. And do you have a question?
Yeah, is that how they get like median pay for a lot?
It is, indeed. It's called market pay in this case. So the market wage is right in the middle. So if we're deciding to follow a market wage philosophy, pay philosophy is market, we're going to take the middle point here. So when our employees look outside, sometimes we'll see jobs that pay lower, sometimes we'll see jobs that pay higher, whatever, on average. Okay, so in that case, we'd have a market on each one of these jobs. Up here would be known as a lead position. We would be taking a lead there, and down here it's known as a lag, right? This is lag, this is lead, and this is market. Lead, lag, and match is a pretty simplistic way to explain it. And if we were to think about this, we'd get together the compensation committee, and we would have the compensation committee think about how much they wanted to pay, interacting with the with the process of the marketing group, whether they want to be low-cost leaders or differentiation price approach, talking with the human resources people who say, you know, don't forget that people that are well paid might be working harder and are more susceptible to improvement and catching up and this and that. So there's a lot of sort of philosophy and general points of view. But typically people take the cheap way and they say, let's lag in a labor-intensive industry. I don't think it's necessary, but that's just the nature of the way I see it. So we have a lag situation. The company votes on lag, which is to say low cost marketing philosophy. Competitive advantage, right? You read all this in
Porter? Porter?
No,
Porter's low-cost philosophy.
All right, so here, with this low-cost philosophy, we'd also take this point and this point.
I'm sorry.
Is that your chair?
Yeah.
Jesus, these chairs. Can't keep them calm down. So, now what would you suggest I do when I think about job B and C and D and E and F and G that I also need to pay? How am I going to pay them? And they're not particularly key job situations. Right? Here's the lag here. They're not key jobs that I can really survey and find out about. What can I do to extend this wage philosophy of lag to my other jobs?
Average. The lag. Between lag.
Well, I'm going to have, let's say there's going to be a job rated here, which I guess, no, there isn't, because that's D and E. So we're going to have two jobs in here, whatever, right? And some out here to the top, whatever. So how am I going to get this lag philosophy onto these jobs if I can't wage and salary survey because they're not key jobs? It's getting to be time to stand up and do jumping jacks, I can tell you right now. What do we do here?
Run a trend line.
A trend line established by what? We're going to use the lags, but how do I use those particular points to establish a trend line? Give me the statistical term beginning with an R. Well, I'm looking to establish a line, aren't I? And how would I do that?
Regression.
A regression. I like that sound. And how would I do a regression on this stuff? I know. You get out Excel and you enter the data. And what is this point here? Tell me what this point is. It's a point on a scatter chart, right? Yes, Dr. Fox. And since it's a point on a scatter chart, we have Y variable and we have X variable. And therefore, we can create. I'm not creating it. No way. I'm not that old-fashioned. I'm sticking all this crap into Excel and pushing the regression button. And bang, there's going to be the line right there. Right?
Yeah.
Yes, Dr. Fox, right as always. Okay, so what we're going to do is stick this XY, and this XY into a regression analysis. And we're going to hit the switch. Bang. And what are we going to come up with? It's going to provide me with an equation. And what's that equation going to look like from your econ regression or your econ stats class? What is the formula for a regression line? Don't tell me you don't know, or I'm going to go around and complain to Tim Perry, whoever taught you this class. Who taught you your stats class in econ? Yeah, it is. Y equals MX plus B, right? Not too bad. MX plus B, okay? Does this ring a bell with everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, good. So, we would take this, plug it in, and we get a line, the magic line. And there would be numbers along in here. A number here and a number here. This is the... And this is the constant when X equals zippy zero, right? So, effectively what we're doing then is finding the LBF. Thank
yeah.
you. The line of best fit running up through these three data points and
hitting these points here.
At least, well, we're going to get, sorry, don't do that yet. Stop. Okay, so we run the line right up through here, the line of best fit running up through there, which is y equals mx plus b. This is a number here. This is a number. And x is this, right? X is the point on the x-axis where the job is. We'll talk about the value of that job on the x-axis in the next thing that we do. So what we have then is we look at each one of these jobs for their x values, which I'm going to explain to you. Don't get too excited. Dr. Hawks, tell us now. We want to know. Not quite. So we're going to do put the x in there. We're going to run this equation to come up with the y value, which is going to be the average pay for that job that we have plugged in, which in this case happens to have been this job here, right? I have a feeling that I should start all over again. Some of you are looking at scans. Is this possible? Do people really do this? Is that what Excel's for? I thought it was for fantasy football.
What does M represent?
Say again?
What does M represent?
A constant.
The slope. It's a constant, right?
Okay.
It's a constant. Right. And it's there all the time. So all you put in is the x variable, right? Y equals mx plus b. The x corresponds to a point on this line here. These are all our jobs. They all have point values. Job ABCD equals 200 points, which puts it right there, 200. So then I take the 200 and I stick it into the y equals 4.739x plus 8, or something like that. And here's the x that I've plugged in. And I take that 200, I stick it on the 8, I get 800. I get 800 plus another sort of almost 1, so another 0.72. So somewhere maybe around 10-ish. So we have maybe 10 plus 8 equals y. So y equals 18. Whatever. Best I can do. Does everybody see this? What I'm explaining to you here is the consistency of thinking toward goal achievement using the compensation system. It's all very straightforward. It just requires a little bit of elevated thinking to sort of get this organized in your brain about how this is done. I want to create an emotional response. The emotional response leads to an action, leads to a goal. How do I create that emotional response? I put myself into the mind of the employee who's establishing the equity for their pay. I'm giving them $10 an hour or $12 an hour. They don't have an emotional reaction to that pay until they compare it to relevant others. In this case, there's three relevant others. Same job, different job, same organization, same job externally. Once they make those comparisons, they form an emotional response. The emotional response leads to reaction, which I hope leads to a goal if I've done it correctly. So we price our pay based on what we're trying to achieve, and we do that by wage and salary survey and then fitting our pay into the range of pay, very happy, miserably unhappy, right? We fit our pay into this emotional spread. This is, whatever I said, $10. And this is $14, like this. And the employees have an emotional response that we have calculated they should have. And that's the pay we give them. Everybody follow this? Is it easy? Not particularly, though it's not particularly difficult. But is it more complex than the average businessman thinks about? Oh, damn straight shooting thing. You're not kidding. They don't know anything about this stuff. They just guess. Right, which leads to the usual cacophony of complaints and mistakes and excuses and general confusion. But when you think about it logically and construct for that concept of actions, emotions, and goals, then you put together a pay system that's coherent and everything fits. We still have to do internal equity, which is the most difficult to establish of them, but it's important. So we'll talk about that the next time we're here, as we hopefully are able to wind up compensation appropriately. You forgot to number the damn sheet. Number that sheet. You don't expect me to do that. How did everything?
I was good. I tried to go. I'm gonna go to the right side now.
Oh, you are.
I got it all. It's all on the drive. I just gotta add my sources on it.
Okay. Okay.
It doesn't matter.
You are here. That's good enough. Are you on the sheet?
I'm on the
edge. Okay. Be sure you sign that.